Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Real Fake Baseball for Friends with Fantasy Benefits. I am your host, Paul Martin, here with my co-host, as always, Walter McMichael. How are you, Walter? I'm going to let you take over the hosting role tonight because we are going into my Yankees. And I think, you said it best, but the people want to hear what I have to say about the Yankees. And I thought you were wrong, but I'm going to let you be right tonight, and I'm going to let you host as well. So tell the people how you're doing, and then you go right into it.
Yeah, that was just to get the ego boosted up. Let's get it going for the Yankees podcast. I'm sure Yankees fans need an ego boost, am I right? But yes. Yeah, I'm doing well today. Just ready to talk about the Yankees, I guess. I mean, these are much better. This is a much better team than the teams we've talked about. As we get towards the end, we're talking about the better teams. So, tons of fantasy players. So let's try and get through it pretty quick. At least the same amount of time, but there's a lot of good players. So we'll start a catcher, Gary Sanchez.
Yeah.
Terrible last year. What are you thinking about Gary Sanchez this year?
I mean, as long as his ADP is okay, and you know I'm terrible with the ADPs, I usually rely on you for stuff like that. But you're hosting tonight, so I don't know if you're going to be able to do that for me. But at the same time, I feel like if the ADP is right, I'm going to be drafting him this year. I think it was pretty much bad luck, injuries that kept his year to what it was last season. And I'm pretty sure we all kind of expect the power to come back. He already had 18 home runs last year. That really didn't take a backseat. But it was all about the average. And 186 is not okay in any fantasy league, even for a catcher. That's going to go up, though. 197 BABIP, that's really not possible with how hard he hits the ball. Pretty sure 260 average with maybe like 25-30 home runs if he's healthy. What do you think about that? I think that's pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely in on Gary Sanchez this year. He is going pretty high. I have it filtered since the first of the year, and he's going 56th overall. So still pretty high,
right,
in NFBC. So you definitely have to pay for him, but I mean, he's my number one catcher. I would definitely take him over Real Muto. I think that's not really the norm. I think most people will take Real Muto. But yeah, I think his upside is pretty insane, where it's like you could get a first baseman at catcher. So I think you agree with me there. So we'll move over to first base where – I mean, we could talk about we'll move over to first base. Luke Voit. I know he's a big question mark. He absolutely crushed it to end the year last year. What's your take on Luke Voit? You buying? You just gonna let him go on because he's not gonna get enough playing time? Let's see what you got.
Well, I think he's gonna get the playing time. I don't necessarily like Greg Bird, and I think you were right to mention Luke Voit first because I do think he is the starter. I think he should go into the year as the starter, and last year definitely proved that. He's always just hit the ball really hard, and I think that that's the most impressive thing about him. He can field decently. You know, he's not going to go out there and really ruin the game with his glove. He's not going to change the game with his glove, but it's all about that bat, and if he continues to hit like he did last year, I'm totally buying into him. I was trying to find his
194 overall.
That's pretty good. I would probably buy that. That's a decent place to buy him. And if he is the starter for the whole year in that lineup, he's gonna hit somewhere around the middle too. Like, they're gonna want his power somewhere around there. I don't really see him batting lower than sixth, but even so, like, that lineup is so stacked that even if he is seventh or eighth, his home runs are going to come with RBIs. So I think he's a good buy right there.
Yeah, I'm definitely in on Voit. If you filter the StatCast data to the plate appearances he had last year, he was first in xWOBA last year. So yeah. Everything is there. It's just like we know the skills are there. Now the problem is, do those skills repeat? And I don't think he's not going to be that as good as he was last
right.
year, but with full-time playing time, he could hit 35, and I wouldn't even be surprised if he hit 40 home runs next year if he played the full year. He just he hits monster shots to right center field. So I love Luke Voit. Yeah, Greg Bird. I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah, they should have got something for him when they could. And honestly, their profiles are sort of similar. Like Voit and Greg Bird, they both strike out a decent amount. They both walk a good amount too. But Voit just seems to have more consistency, and yeah, it seems like recency bias at this point, just because he did have a healthy end of the year. But he was never really hurt for the Cardinals. He just never had a spot there. So hopefully the Yankees give him that spot after what he did for them last year, and just let him go to work. Like, he's a good hitter, and I'm pretty sure he's still under control and everything, just like Greg Bird is. So it doesn't help the team to play Greg Bird at all. That's
no,
my take.
No, not at all. All right, we'll move over to second base. Right now they got DJ LeMahieu. Always been a Paul Martin favorite, DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about DJ outside of Coors?
I think you could probably expect similar to what you got last year. I think the average might go down a little bit, because that's one thing that Coors does do is increase the BABIP a lot. I don't think people look into that as much as they think it's just all increase of power. There is a big increase of BABIP when you look at the Coors data. But yeah, I think, you know, maybe like a 280 average, because he just makes so much contact that he's going to get hits, and he makes so much contact to the opposite field, and it's good hard contact. So, you know, the home runs probably aren't going to go over 20 ever, but if he could get, you know, like 14 home runs and 14 stolen bases in that lineup, that'll be decent with a 270, 280 average.
Yeah, over 20 home runs, you're really...
I said he'll never get over is what I just said, actually.
I know, okay. But 20 is a...
20 is like, a low bar. Like, if he does do that, then that's extra.
Yeah.
He's going 233 in NFBC. So that's you can buy him there. And if he gets a full season of at-bats, even as a utility guy in that Yankees lineup, and he hits like he did in Coors, at least the counting stats should be better. I mean, I hate to rely on counting stats being good for a player, but in that lineup, it's just so hard not to predict everyone to get some sick counting stats.
Yeah, it's pretty hard, though. I don't think I'm going to be on it, just because he doesn't really have much power, doesn't steal too many bases, and right now he's projected to hit ninth.
Yeah, so. But you know what? At the end of your draft, if you can get a good batting average like you could get out of DJ LeMahieu, I think that that's also a plus. It depends on how you build your team when you get to that point, and I think taking DJ LeMahieu could help some teams.
Yeah, I knew you would defend DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah.
You're going to go down swinging on him. So shortstop, right now we got Gleyber Torres over there. What the rookie phenom last year, you know, he came out and he was just crushing everything, then he kind of slowed down and struggled a bit. So what are your thoughts on him coming into this year?
I mean, I think his ADP is a little high for what he'll provide statistically, but I do think that he's a really good player. I mean, he had 24 home runs and 6 stolen bases last year, which is really good for fantasy. And, you know, that's only in 484 plate appearances. So there is room to grow there statistically. And 24 home runs is probably more than a lot of people expected, like, as a career ceiling. So to do that in less than a full year already is pretty impressive for Gleyber Torres. You know, everyone always talks about sophomore slumps or whatever. It's not really that. I think it is going to be hard for him to play another full... Like, he played nearly a full season last year. He's going to play another full season this year, barring injury, and that's going to get tiresome for a young kid, as it always does. But, you know, if he stays away from injury, he could provide the value that he's going on draft day, but he's not going to really provide much more this year, I don't think. What do you think about that?
Yeah, he's going way too high in redraft picks. Like, it's... I honestly don't understand it. I don't know. I don't know, really. I really don't know what people are thinking, taking him.
Yeah.
So right now, he's... I have him as 60th overall. That's way too high.
It's too high. But in Dynasty, if he does struggle a little bit this year it's a good time to buy, because I didn't even think that he was really going to come out of the gate and hit 24 home runs. I thought he would be maybe a little bit more on the stolen base side and maybe like 15 home runs. But that's a pretty big power number for this kid. And I think that that it could go up from there, and he could steal like 15 bases in a full season. He is fast, and he has good judgment on the bases. It's just all going to come down to more experience. He's still so young.
He's you definitely have to like him in Dynasty. So two guys that we have behind him. One is we already know is going to be out for a good chunk of the season in Didi Gregorius. And then we have another guy who will probably also be out a good chunk of the season in Troy Tulowitzki. What are your thoughts on them as backups?
Yeah, that's pure speculation at this point, I just want to say. You know, I hear that he's in the best shape of his life. But.
Oh, I'm sure he is. There's tons of players in the best shape of their life. Yeah. I wish I was in the best shape of my life, but that's not true.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about Tulowitzki. I think he could, if he provides, like, you know, the past couple years, they've had, like, the Neil Walker heroics. They had the Chase Headley heroics. And I could see Troy Tulowitzki just kind of coming up big in certain situations. But other than becoming, like, a fan favorite out of nowhere, I really don't see him providing any fantasy value at all.
Yeah, I'm with you there. What about Didi?
Didi, I'm always wary on drafting guys like that. I mean, he's going really late, so you can just shove him on a DL for most of the year. But at the same time, you might just want to take a shot on a guy that late in the draft. Like, we already talked about Ryan O'Hearn. You know, Tyler O'Neill's kind of going down there. Franchi Cordero's going down there. A lot of guys that are going to play at the beginning of the year. Jorge Soler, you know, Luis Urias. There's a lot of interesting names down there. And I would rather take a guy like that than just put Didi Gregorius on my DL and hope for, like, you know, 12 home runs at the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm with you. He just doesn't – he's not impact enough to wait on. So I think I'm safely crossing Didi off my list. Third baseman, who I know you really liked coming into last year, Miguel Andujar. What are your thoughts on him – where he's going? He provided a really, really good rookie year for free.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that buy in the Dicka Fantasy Dynasty will go down as one of my better buys in history. just saying, $4 for Miguel Andujar the year before he hits 27 home runs. But yeah, I mean,
luckily I told you that was a waste of $4.
Yeah, at the time it looked like it could have been, but you know what? We went into the season. He started it off, and he never stopped. So that was great for him. I mean, he hits the ball really hard. He doesn't have the best plate discipline if you look at the numbers, but if you watch him play, I mean, he swings at some crazy stuff, but he hits some crazy stuff. Like, at the same time, you don't want him to lose that aggressiveness just because of his feel for the game. That's where he gets a lot of his benefits. He's a lot like Eddie Rosario without the stolen bases in that
I was gonna say he's like Adam Jones, Adam Jones, where they just swing at everything. But they make a ton of contact just because they have insane, like, they make a ton of contact.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's one arm swinging all over the place. Like, he wraps his arm around his head. Like, he's just out there playing the game. And I'm not sure if I'm going to take a guy like that at 68 because there is going to be some slump built into his bat just because of how he plays the game. And, you know, he might get traded. That's still up in the air. But I do like Miguel Andujar. I'm trying to think. Like, I would rather have him than, like, Jesus Aguilar is going underneath him, and I know that's, like, a popular buy this year. You know, George Springer, like, he's kind of similar to George Springer in a lot of ways. George Springer's not going to provide much speed either. Gleyber Torres is going above him. Ozzie Albies. I might rather have Miguel Andujar than some of these guys just because he can provide 30 home runs.
Yeah, the problem I have is I'm looking at it right now, and Daniel Murphy is going a little bit after him. And
it's safer. That's a safer bet for sure.
Yeah, Murphy and Coors has the chance to be kind of crazy. But I do really like Andujar. He's a really good hitter, and I think he's going to maintain a plus average for most of his career just because he makes such good contact. Like, but he's a guy that you knock down in OBP leagues because he's so aggressive.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, let's move to the outfield, and this is where it gets real sexy out there in the outfield.
Yes, it does.
We'll start with left field, the best player in their outfield, in Brett Gardner. He's projected to hit leadoff.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. So, you know, could still be Bryce Harper. You never know. We're still holding out hope.
Yeah, it's not going to be Bryce Harper. So Brett Gardner, I think he could be that guy that it's like people are just completely forgetting about. Like projected to hit leadoff in the Yankees lineup, that's
– yeah.
Like if he hits leadoff all year, that's probably like what, 110, 120 runs scored?
Yep. And I mean, I don't know really, like, other than the 236 average, which is totally an outlier on Brett Gardner's career, like, he's never really done that bad. You know, he still had a 322 OBP, so bump him up in your OBP leagues for sure, because he always takes those walks. But I mean, 12 home runs, 16 stolen bases, he still provided those stolen bases for you, even at his age. Like, he had 609 plate appearances yet again. He'll probably come close to that, as barring any other huge signing, like anything ridiculous. Brett Gardner is still going to provide those plate appearances. He's still going to get double-digit home runs. He's still going to get the double-digit stolen bases. And like you said, if he's hitting leadoff, then he's going to go crazy with those runs scored, because he's going to have a healthy Judge behind him. Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Hicks, like, we don't have to go through it all. It's a ridiculous lineup.
He's only 1 year removed from a 2020 season. So yeah.
And that's not out of the question. I think 20 home runs, like, the way he swings and the way he makes contact with the ball, he can easily go into another 20 home run season next year.
Yeah, he just completely sells out for that right field.
Oh my God, power. He does. And I think last year, that's what caused such a bad average. So maybe he does stop that a little bit more this year, or maybe he just got more used to it and spent a year trying to, you know, get used to that sort of a swing, and it didn't really work out as far as stats go. But you know what? Development isn't linear, especially for older guys like that.
Yeah, Brett Gardner still developing. You heard it here first.
I mean, hey, everyone has to change their game at some point, man. CeCe did it too on the same team. So, you know what? Pitching, hitting, it can't be that much different. Sometimes you just got to change it up.
Yeah, and he's going 330 overall. That could be a nice little, like, 20 stolen bases down there. And I know we're all looking for stolen bases. But, yeah, we'll move over to center field where –
hey, if you don't keep developing, then you turn into Alex Gordon. And no one wants to be Alex Gordon.
Yeah, I'd be Alex Gordon.
All right, sorry. No MLB player wants to be Alex Gordon.
Yeah, so we'll move on to Aaron Hicks, one of our personal favorites. I know we both really loved him coming into last year. He's no longer free, which always sucks, but, you know, a 27 home run, 11 stolen base season will do that to you. I think that I'm kind of out on him at his price just because he's – the batting average, I don't really see how he can get it up, but I'm interested in what you think.
Well, I'm definitely interested in OBP leagues, that's for sure. I mean, because he goes nuts. But, I mean, going, like, with some of the guys he's going around, I'll take a shot on Aaron Hicks in some of these leagues. Like, he's going around Will Myers. We all know how much you love Will Myers. We all know how much I love Will Myers, that's for sure. But you especially love Will Myers. I mean, Michael Brantley, who's just a walking injury, just because he changed teams, don't think that that means he's going to get 600 plate appearances next year. I mean, Edwin Encarnacion, yeah, okay, he's going to give you home runs. He's not really going to do much else for you, and last year was kind of disappointing for him. Jurickson Profar, Daniel Murphy, your boy again. I mean, sure, he's a safe bet, and you love him in cores, but Aaron Hicks could provide the stolen bases, too.
That 10 to 15 stolen bases is kind of – now that I'm kind of looking at who's really going around him,
like it's not gonna pretty. I'm going to be taking him on some teams. Like Nelson Cruz, yeah, we both love Nelson Cruz, but he's utility only. Now he's in Minnesota, and, you know, it's a lot different. Justin Turner, always love, but that's always injury prone. Michael Conforto too. Max Muncy. I'm going to take a lot of Michael Conforto.
Sorry. The one guy I think I do like better is Andrew McCutchen. But yeah, Hicks is really good.
Maybe Robles. I kind of like Robles.
Yeah, Robles too. He's projected to hit third right now, so he's going to have a ton of counting stats. Bump him up a ton in OBP leagues because that walk rate is just massive. I think we're fans. We're not 100% sold on the ADP. At least I'm not. But we'll move on to right field.
Yes, our boy.
Aaron Judge.
Yeah. None better.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
He's so amazing. He's so good.
No, he really is amazing just because, like, he does strike out way too much. but it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't. It really doesn't. Last year, again, he had a he had 500 plate appearances. That's a solid sample. He struck out 30% of the time. He still had a 278 average, and then he had 27 home runs and 6 stolen bases in 112 games. I'm sorry.
But, yeah, it's just what happens when you smash the ball every time you make contact with it.
He's like, one of the best hitters in baseball, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's awesome. Like, and the great thing is that people don't realize is he steals like close to 10 bases a year too. Like, he had 9 in 2017, and then he had 6 last year. So he's not a zero in stolen bases, which is always nice, because it all the little teeny bits and pieces like that add up at the end of the year.
And do you think he'll hit second? I think he'll hit second too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He loves getting behind
he's
Gardner.
He's projected to hit second. Yeah. Yep. So
sign me up at the I mean, he's going in the second round. Like, I'm getting him anywhere I can.
Yeah, I'm with you too.
I might even take him, like, if I have like the 8th pick, I'm not taking are you taking Acuña over Judge? Like, are you?
Oh, yeah.
You
are? I love me some Acuña. All
right. That's kind of fair. That's the one. I'm not taking JD Martinez, no way. Like, Francisco Lindor, no. I'm taking Judge.
I'm taking Lindor. Yeah, I think you're a little bit higher than I am.
I don't know, man. I think I am.
Just because Lindor gets you like 20 stolen bases.
I guess.
Which is huge. So, but yeah, I'm pretty high on him as well. He's definitely like in consideration at the wheel for me, at least.
Oh, absolutely.
Next up, we have another just complete masher, 80 grade power, Giancarlo Stanton. What are you thinking about him? I think he's actually going at a pretty nice discount this year.
Yeah, definitely. They're going real close to each other, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. I think last year people got burned after there was that huge run where, like, Derek Cardi was talking about him being, like, the second best hitter behind Mike Trout and all that. And he kind of got bumped up to, like, the top 6 in a lot of drafts and then really
high.
Yeah, he did not produce to that level. And I think when that happens, there's always a huge influx of players the next year that's like, oh, I'm never taking Giancarlo Stanton again. He completely burned me. And when you look at his year last year, there was a solid, like, 60-game stretch where he was, like, the only guy in that lineup every single day. Whether Sanchez was out or Judge was out or Gardner was out or Hicks was out, Stanton played, like, 88 straight games in the summer. And that was huge for the team. Like, and I think that he just kind of got burnt out at some point. He was playing the field a ton. He was supposed to just be a DH. And, you know, I think this year is going to be a year of reclamation for Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, I just don't think he got hot. I just don't think he got that hot, you know, that Stanton hot streak where it's just like he's just demolishing every baseball that comes near him. He
ended the year with the 266 batting average and then 38 home runs. Yeah, 5 stolen bases, so another non-zero.
I think Stanton is going to put up some pretty monster numbers this year.
Yeah.
And I love where he's going in drafts. If I can get him where he's going, which right now it says in those drafts that I have it filtered by, it has him going 24th. So if I can get him – if I could get like a – something like a Ronald Acuña, Giancarlo Stanton start, I would just go crazy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, that would be amazing. But, yeah, I think we've said enough about – well, I guess – there's Jacoby Ellsbury. We don't need to talk about him.
No,
he's pretty
I would
much
rather talk about Clint
outfield.
Frazier and see if he kind of gets interesting if there's an injury at all. It might be his, but
yeah, I think
it could
be
someone else's.
Frazier's a watch right now.
Yeah,
like, keep
you
him
can
in
forget
mind
about Tyler
if,
Wade
in case like Brett Gardner or Aaron Hicks like pull a hammy or something like that. Then I think he becomes interesting.
Yeah.
So. I would definitely watch out for him. But yeah, let's move over to the pitchers.
Yes.
Severino.
Oh, yeah.
Sevy really struggled in the second half last year. Does that concern you at all?
I mean, it always concerns you a little bit, but no, Not really. I think he's you're getting a nice little discount this year with him. I would definitely believe in him repeating a couple. I mean, he's had a couple good years now, and that's not gonna go unnoticed with me. And he's still so young, and he still has nasty stuff. I'll be dipping into the Severino pool again this year a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Like young pitchers with back-to-back ace seasons, I'm not worried at all. I think he just had a bad second half mainly. I would definitely be happy with him as my number one starting pitcher. So the Yankees, their new acquisition, James Paxton. I know he's always struggled with injuries. He hasn't really lived up to expectations for his fantasy owners. What are you thinking he's going to do with the Yankees this year?
I think he's going to be a good pitcher. I think he's getting drafted a little bit high. I don't think that I'm really going to touch him too many spots where he is right now. Maybe if you can get him cheap in an auction or something. But, you know, I think he's just going to be a solid pitcher. I don't expect the world from him, but he does get a ton of swing and miss. He gets a lot of strikeouts. He is exciting for fantasy in that case. But he also does give up a lot of home runs, which, you know, being a lefty in Yankee Stadium, you just hope that he can limit them to the right field fence as much as possible. And, you know, you hope that helps him a little bit there. And I think he's like a mid-threes ERA guy, and he's going to pitch maybe like 150, 160 innings and really just kill it with the strikeouts and maybe come close to 200.
Yeah, I'm in on Paxton. I think he's like – he's one of those guys that could – I know we've been saying it, but he could just really just make that leap this year.
Definitely. I will take him over the guys that he's going near, though. Like Patrick Corbin, like I'll probably buy Paxton before I buy him. I'll probably buy Paxton before Strasburg is tough. I'll probably buy him over Zach Greinke and Jack Flaherty too.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this might be one of his years where he just takes that leap. He's so nasty, and I don't know. The Yankees seem to be doing some pretty good things with their pitcher, so I'm buying Paxton at his price. Next up, we have Tanaka. You know, always getting that O swing, but man, it's ugly watching him pitch because it's just everything is junk.
Yeah.
What are you thinking with Tanaka?
I don't know, man. I never really know what to think, but he's kind of going in a spot too where he's just interesting enough to take him. Like, he's interesting enough to the point where he can have an ace-like season. I mean, we've seen it, and he does have a ton of junk, but it's also nasty when it's on. Like, that splitter is nearly unhittable when it's on. And some nights he's coming out and he's pumping gas and using the sinker and the splitter. Like, I just wish he could, like, be more consistent. That's really all it is. If he has a consistent year, then he's going to be in low 3 ERAs, he's going to have a low whip, and he's going to have nearly a strikeout per inning. So that is really good value for where you're getting him. And he is, I mean, all of the guys at this range are volatile, whether it's Carlos Martinez or Chris Archer or, you know, Kyle Hendricks isn't going to provide the strikeouts that Tanaka could get. Cole Hamels is volatile. Like, there's just a lot of volatility here. So I think Tanaka, he's almost less scary than some of those guys.
Yeah, I think I've come to the realization with Tanaka, it's like he just, like, you just can't get by not throwing pitches in the zone. Like, I know that Patrick Corbin got by with it last year, and I think that's going to come back to haunt him this year. It's just like Tanaka gets a ton of swinging strikes, but once they finally lay off and he has to come in the zone, they just punish him.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I mean, that was an off season for Tanaka last year. He still had a 25% strikeout rate, still had a 5.5% walk rate, and still had a 3.75 ERA, which are all pretty useful for fantasy. It's just those home runs. If he could stop the home runs just a little bit, I mean, there was just so many meatballs last year that people just took advantage of. The hanging splitters, you know, the hanging sinkers, they're not okay to be doing in today's game. So he just has to adjust that a little bit, and I think he's the type of pitcher that can make adjustments for sure. I'm not too worried about him making adjustments. I think it's just going to take time with him. He's a very smart pitcher.
All right. Yeah, well, We'll see with Tanaka. All right, so the next guy we have, is it Jay or is it J.A. Happ?
Well, I don't know, man. I guess he said it was Jay, so I got to respect the man and call him by what he says it is. So I lose that battle. I'm man enough to say that I lost that battle.
All right, so J.A. Happ, what are
no,
your thoughts on
it? No, it's Jay. Come on. All right. I mean, you know what you're getting out of J.A. Happ. You're going to get a late-round pitcher who's going to provide value. Like, that's pretty much it. I'm pretty sure he's – I don't even have to check.
I don't think he's late-round anymore.
He's not late-round anymore?
That's the thing.
No.
No.
He's going right behind Masahiro Tanaka.
People
that's
like
not
him.
Good.
Right here. Yeah, he's going right after Tanaka. So.
Well, that's an interesting question. See, I would rather have Tanaka
longer
than Happ. What about you? That's an interesting – what about for you? I feel like
I'd probably
you.
Take Tanaka. I would take Tanaka.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like Happ this year then. But, I mean, as a pitcher, like as a Yankees fan, I think that he's great
solid.
For that team. Yeah, he's very solid pitcher.
He's solid, like, number four that they need.
Yep.
All right, CeCe, this man, it seems like, has been around forever on the Yankees. And he really has.
Yep.
And he kind of, like, rebuilt himself, like you said. It's been kind of good to see. I've always liked CeCe. He's always seemed like he's had – ton of fun out there, so I'm happy to see it. And I think he is like he might be the J.A. Happ you're talking about, late round guy that could provide some decent ratios for you.
Oh yeah, definitely. He's another. Well, what I was gonna say about J.A. Happ, I could just say about CeCe Sabathia, because he's just a late round player that you know what you're gonna get out of. He has strikeout potential. You know, when he's on, his pitches are nasty. His breaking ball and fastball are tunneled very well together, and he makes a lot of hitters miss just based off, you know, the speed differential and the fact that the pitches look exactly the same until they reach the bat. So he's able to miss a lot of barrels that way, and he did reinvent himself on the Yankees, and I will be taking him at the end of many drafts just because people continue to underrate him based on him just being an old pitcher. He's 37 years old, going to be 38 next year, and I have no problems with that. He has enough weight to where I don't think he's going to get injured just based off that. He doesn't have a high-intensity delivery or anything like that where it really worries you. The only thing is, like, if that knee holds up, that's the only thing, is if his arthritic bones hold up. That's the thing with CeCe. But I do like him.
Yeah, him going from four seam to cutter really really ended up helping him out. Yeah. So let's move over to the bullpen. You got Aroldis Chapman. He's their closer. What are you doing with Chapman? Because it seemed like his control was kind of off last year, so does that concern you at all?
I mean, a little bit, because you know that nothing like that can last forever with Aroldis Chapman, but at the same time, if it's creating a little bit of a buying window, I will definitely buy into it. I think he still is, what, like the second, third, if he's still on your board as like the fifth closer, then I'm definitely taking him. He's going as like the third or fourth closer right now, I think, right? Between he's like Kimbrel, Jansen, and Diaz are probably
fifth.
Ahead of him, right?
I think he's fifth. Kimbrel, Jansen, Diaz, and Trinan.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, there is some value to be had there, because he's a definite candidate to be the number one closer at the end of the year for sure. I mean, he's going to probably have a lot of save opportunities on that team. And, you know, now that I say that, I don't know, because that offense is so good, he might not have too many save opportunities. They might just win a lot of blowout games as well. But, you know, the wins are going to be there regardless. He has nasty stuff. That doesn't even need to be said. And as long as that control and command is a little bit back underneath him, which we know it can be because it has in the past, I think that he can be the number one closer again. So, yeah, I'll buy into him.
Yeah, I'm with you. Chapman, I still think Chapman's a beast. I will be investing in him. He's like I know the control, but the problem I have with looking at things like that with relief pitchers, it's there's such small samples that I don't think you can really see too much from, and he's still dominant. I have no worries about Chapman at all. So now we have a slew of setup men. So I think the three that would we would have to ask ourselves about if Chapman ever were to go down would be Dylan Betances, Zach Britton, Adam Ottavino. Which one do you think is next in line?
That's a tough question, to be honest. Like, I would think it has to be Betances, just based on he's been there, and I think they trust him more than a guy like Ottavino to come in. But
interesting. I think it would be Ottavino because they hate Dylan Betances.
Well, they don't hate Dylan Betances.
Okay, come on, they hate him.
No, he's gotten plenty of save opportunities in the past for them. Stop.
Okay.
He's been the guy. He's been the guy that they've put into the ninth inning role before. Like they don't hate him just because they had that real. I mean, arbitration hearings are ugly, man. Like, do you understand what those are? Like, it's a team telling you how bad you are.
Yeah, they legitimately hate
just to
him.
Save money. Like, but they do that in everything. Of course, they're gonna blow it up because it's the Yankees and because it's Dylan Betances. Like, but other teams do that too. The Red Sox, like, or whoever
goes to a
hearing.
Okay, let's stay on track here. So the Yankees hate Dylan Betances. So who else would you choose?
I would probably choose Britton over Ottavino too.
Interesting. Yeah, I think Britton is just a like really good ground ball guy now. He has, like, no control, doesn't strike anyone out anymore.
Well, he was striking people out he got better at the end of last year.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of worried about Britton.
It doesn't really matter, though.
I think Ottavino is actually a good, like, I'm not usually a draft relievers that aren't closers type. I think you know that about me. Yeah. But I think Ottavino is actually one of the ones I would. Because he's just so good. Like, I think he could just give you, like, super elite ratios and 100 strikeouts this year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they might even use him as a multi-inning guy, so, you know.
Yeah, I think that might be what he did. Because he did it pretty frequently last year with the Rockies. Like, going 1 1/3 or 2 innings. So, yeah, I think he's interesting in that sense.
They have a lot of guys competing for that Luis Sessa role too, that swingman six starter. And yeah. I don't know. I mean, we both like Domingo Germán still, right? Like you're not totally off the Germán boat yet, right?
No, I love me some Domingo Germán still. And, I think he could still push his way into the rotation.
Yep, him and I got a pump for Loazaga too, because that dude came on the scene out of nowhere last year. Talk about, I mean, you know, Juan Soto does deserve a lot of credit, but Loazaga came up from high A last year, and he'd never really done anything before that. I think his total minor league career innings pitched is under 170 innings before he pitched with the Yankees. So he came up and he showed some nasty stuff. I mean, he's got a pretty big fastball. He's got a tight curveball. He's got some pitches that could work. So I think he's interesting. Chance Adams, if he shows up and he has some better fastball command, he could easily be interesting too. That's pretty much the last piece that he needs because he's got some other good pitches. It's just he has no idea where the fastball is going. And, you know, Tarpley's a left-handed guy who gets a ton of ground balls. I think he fits more as, like, a starter, but right now they have him listed in the bullpen. And I'm pretty sure Green, Holder, and Canley are gone at some point because they just have so many names in the minor leagues. They have Mike King down there. They have, you know, Acevedo on the 40-man roster. They have Albert Abreu, who I personally
don't like.
Yeah,
they have
40-man
problems.
Yeah,
they have 40-man problems.
They have 40-man problems, and, you know, Canley, Holder, and Green are expendable for sure.
I'm going to give you some pushback. I don't think Chad Green's expendable. I think he's too good to just move out the way.
I mean, other teams know that, though. They'll get plenty for him. So that's also a thing. Like, if you include Chad Green because he's going to get you more in a trade, then go for that.
Well, because he hasn't accrued much service time. He only has, like, 2 years of service time. So he's a very controllable reliever. So I think that's very valuable to the Yankees. I don't think they're going to move him. Jonathan Holder and Tommy Canley, yeah, I think they could easily be moved. We have returning from Tommy John, though, Jordan Montgomery as well to talk about.
I mean, I like him as a starter for sure if he gets a chance. He's probably – I just wonder what they're going to do with him next year. I think once things start to clear up with their plan on Montgomery, then we'll see what happens. But as of right now, it's just kind of cloudy.
I would guess that he goes on rehab stint for a month, and then he gets optioned to AAA, unless they have an opening in the MLB rotation.
Well, did he get invited? Did they send out the invites to spring training yet? Because he's an interesting guy to watch in spring training to see if his pitches are sharp, because he has a lot of really good stuff and the fastball isn't what he relies on. So
I don't think he's going to be back until like July.
Gotcha. Yeah. So he's just a guy that I would be watching, you know, pay attention to his rehab, see if you can catch any starts. I mean, he's just an interesting player. I mean, he has strikeout potential. He could be a solid number three starter and like kind of like a Drew Pomeranz in his good years sort of guy. You know what I mean? Like that crafty left-hander who can get strikeouts based on things other than a hot fastball, which is sort of interesting in fantasy. You get a lot of discount there.
He's like, yeah, he doesn't throw his fastball. He's kind of like Tanaka, but left-handed.
Yeah.
And in like, not that he has a splitter or anything, but just that he just doesn't really throw his fastball and throws a ton of junk.
Yeah, relies on his junk.
But yeah, so there's a lot of interesting arms. I still really like Domingo Germán. I want him to be the guy. So I think that's it. Do you have anything else you want to talk about the Yankees? You're a Yankees fan, so what's your prediction for the Yankees this year?
Well, I mean, the way that their team is set up, that they should win the East. Like, I get that the Red Sox are the returning champions, but they have not done anything but get worse yet. Like they're losing more and more relievers. The Yankees have just made moves to make their team better, and they've been small moves, but they're getting incrementally better with every single move, and I think that right now they should be projected to win the East.
You heard it here. Paul Martin, the Yankees are winning the East, and the Red Sox are now trash.
Red Sox are trash, man. 2 years ago, I said the Angels were going to be the Red Sox. Watch. Angels will have a better record than the Red Sox this year. Boom.
Oh, okay.
Drop it.
That is a hot take. On that, we will get out of here. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at RealFakeWalter. He's at Paul the Martin. Continue listening to our team previews on Friends with Fantasy Benefits. And, of course, I forgot to mention the draft guide. Purchase the draft guide.
Yeah.
The Fantasy Benefit on Amazon. Really good. It's like 550 pages. There's just so much information in it. I think it's you can't ask for a better bang for your buck, because I think the Kindle version is like $7.50, I think, which is just crazy for 500 pages of information. So go out there and get it.
Definitely. Couldn't agree more myself. So thanks, Walter, for taking over the host duties tonight. Really appreciate that. We're going to have you do that more often. But yeah, that's it. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you later.